listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
This is Gene Hilton bringing you the Apostolic Dimension from Spirit of Prophecy Ministries. We welcome you to our program, Raising the Standard. Revelation 19:10 says, "Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy." So with this spirit, let's take a close look at the last days and the coming millennium from a Jewish messianic perspective. There's a great difference between the messianic Jewish understanding and the common Christian interpretation found in most end-time books. Christians over the centuries have separated themselves from their Jewish roots, causing many misunderstandings of key Jewish biblical idioms, therefore missing the true interpretation of many scriptures. We can better understand both the Old Testament and the New Testament by rebuilding the bridge to Judaism and learning to embrace its tradition and worship of God. This does not mean that everyone should wholly convert or become Jewish in lifestyle and religion. Rather, I believe a Christian can embrace and respect Judaism by learning to think in Jewish terminology and honoring God's appointed times, the Jewish festivals, which truly explain the elements of the Christian faith. So join me today as we open the Bible and study God's prophetic foreshadows to teach us about Jesus the Messiah. Let's walk in His footsteps and receive His revelation.
Well, good afternoon. This is Pastors Gene and Donna Hilton greeting you to our program again on another Saturday afternoon. We greet all you listeners wherever you're listening from. And we've been on for a lot of years, and so we get calls from different parts of the state and everything, and even sometimes long distance because people are watching it on the internet. And so we welcome you to our program. We've called it Raising the Standard for a lot of years because that's the purpose. We want to raise the standard in the body of Christ, not to lower it. We want it higher. Amen. And people don't even realize this. You know, the requirements under the New Testament are more stringent, I think, than we had in the first covenant with the Torah, because it was what Jesus put in place. Why? Because it came from the heart. It wasn't some mechanical thing they were trying to do for God, but it comes from the heart. So we greet you. Hope you can stay tuned in for the whole hour. We're honored to be here. We want to say hello to Roscoe and Audrey over on Andros Island in the Bahamas with the Church of God over there. Hallelujah. I love it. And they're walking up and down that wonderful street route front of their house. Conch sound, amen. And they're blowing the shofar with a conch shell. And so we thank you, Lord, for them, all that they're accomplishing over there. Roscoe and Audrey Walks, incredible couple on Andros Island in the Bahamas. And so they're trying to get this roof done. We've been talking about this. So we welcome you to this if you would like to have the opportunity. If you'd like to help build that roof and finish it, he's almost there to get the materials. All we'd ask for, so you just ask the Lord what He'd ask you to give, and then you'll be obedient to that, and guess what? You will be blessed. And no matter what it is, if it's $10, $50, whatever it may be, and we'll make sure you mark it on the check for Andros Island, and we will make sure they get every penny of it. And so we talk about this program. You know, we're on the air here. This is not free. It costs us $165 a week to be on the radio. Maybe somebody would like to cover one of those radio programs. We've had a lot of people doing that lately. So we want to thank all of you that's done that. And we know that God will honor that with you and with this ministry as well. So praise ye the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah.
So we're honored to be here, Pastor Donna.
Yes, amen. We want to say hello to those that are watching by way of Facebook. And if you're listening on the radio, WCNO Radio, you can also see it on Facebook. You just need to go to Gene-Donna Hilton, and you will see us on, you can see this over again. And the name is spelled H-E-A-L-T-O-N, praise God. Well, we have several people that have just tuned in, and we want to say hello to them, amen. So glory to God. I want to mention that we also have a service today at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church. We have our Shabbat service at 2 o'clock, so come join us, come visit us, and worship God with us as we celebrate the Sabbath. Amen. God never changed. The Sabbath has always been on Saturday.
And it's not Sunday, that's for sure.
It always will be. Sunday's the first day of the week. But the Sabbath is on a Saturday. That's where the word Sabbath comes from. Saturday comes from Sabbath. And so we're commanded in the first Testament, even before the Ten Commandments, to remember the Sabbath. That's
right.
And to keep it holy. And so, you know, we know Yeshua always celebrated the Sabbath in his life. Amen. So we want to say hello, and I want to give the address on where the Alliance Church is. It's 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And our phone number here is area code 772-285-7007. Amen. Glory to God. I want to say we're blessed to be here again this Saturday.
That's right. We have Melody, and we also have Margie on here with us again. We're glad to have both of them on here. So,
amen. Oh, glad to be here, so, Pastor Gene.
And we've been talking about manifestations. We could, you know, we could spend months on this topic. There's so many things in the Book of Acts, I know Melody, before we came on, she was telling us, or Melanie, I keep calling her Melody. Melanie. She sees more things all the time in the Book of Acts.
Oh,
and so
I like that.
There's so much you can talk about. And so it encourages us to know that what God did in the past, he's willing to do it today. He's just looking for some people to say, I will. And so that's what we want you to know today. So open your hearts to what you're going to hear today. We're going to continue on the things about manifestations and what we see in the Word of God. And I was thinking this morning, while I was dozing in my chair at home before we came down here, that, you know, there's some interesting things in the Scripture. And, you know, I think about the greatest manifestation of all. We know healing is wonderful, but the greatest manifestation is when someone truly turns their heart over to the Yeshua HaMashiach, the Messiah, and they're truly born again, and you can see it in their life. Their life has changed. It was just not lip service they gave God, but their heart was given to him. That's an incredible manifestation of God. And so we want to keep that in mind as well. So I was reading this morning for a little bit before we go on. I was over in Romans chapter 3 here. And we can just look at some things here. Hallelujah. I'm going to start in verse 20 here. Paul says, therefore, by the deeds of the law, means the legalism of the law, there shall no flesh be what? Justified. What does that word mean? It means to be declared righteous in his sight, for by the Torah, what is the knowledge of sin? Isn't that what the Torah brought? Paul said he didn't know what covetousness was until he found out about it in the Torah. And then we go to verse 21. But now the righteousness of God, this is the key thing. What's righteous with God? Without the law or the Torah is what manifested being witnessed by the law or the Torah and the prophets. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith in Jesus Christ unto all upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. Aren't you glad? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all made a mistake. We need a Savior, don't we? And I like 24, being justified or declared righteous, how? Freely, that is with his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation. He was our bloody sacrifice that took away our sins through faith in his blood to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, Paul said, at this time, this is accurate right now, his righteousness, that he, who God, might be just and justifier of him which believeth in Jesus or Yeshua. Whereas boasting then, Paul says, is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without what? The deeds of the Torah, the legalism of the Torah. Is he the God of the Jews only? The answer we know is what? Is no. Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith. So one God is the one that justifies the Jews and also the Gentiles. Amen?
Amen.
Do we then make void the law of the Torah through faith? And Paul says, God forbid. And we're going to find, why? We establish the Torah. Why? Because everything has always been premised by faith. Abraham had to come by faith as well.
Right.
So that's a great manifestation, is being born again. That was on my heart this morning. So maybe someone heard that morning and received Christ. All you have to do is ask him to come in, and it's going to be amazing. I had a great manifestation in my life the day I did it. I changed that in 1 second. I was not the same man I was before. So it's wonderful. So we got a couple of wonderful guests here. So we'll let them have
it. We're talking about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is very, very important.
Sure is.
Now, if we look at John, or at Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
Jesus said to them, for John truly baptized with water, Now, how many people have been baptized with water? Some people have never been baptized even in water.
That's right.
You know, you get born again, and we're supposed to be baptized. That's an outward picture of an inward
or
cleansing.
Evidence, yeah.
Evidence that we have received Jesus, that mm-hmm. we've become born again. The Bible says we must be born from above. We must be born again to see the kingdom of heaven.
Right.
How are you going to see the kingdom of heaven? How are you going to go there? You must be born again. So that is being, and then you have that witness because you want to be baptized. You want to wash away the old man and become new and be renewed in the spirit of your mind and everything by the word of God. But he says here, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. So this is an additional baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Beyond salvation.
It's not being baptized in water. It's an additional baptism.
Right.
And the key word that I want to talk about is after.
After, yeah.
After. The manifestations will happen after. It said, then it goes in verse 8, it says, but ye shall receive power when?
After. Here's our word.
You're going to receive power after.
After you come to the Lord.
After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you.
But it can't come until you're born again.
Right, but I already talked about that. He talked about being baptized, and they were baptized in water, but you're going to receive another, you're going to be endued with power.
Right.
Right, from above. After that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and Judea and in Samaria and other uttermost part of the earth. So it's after. So we need that baptism of the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
That's why Yeshua, Jesus, told them to go and to wait in Jerusalem for those additional 10 days. He left them. They saw him leave. And they said, you know, they were looking for him. And the angel said, you know, why are you watching? You know, he's going to come back.
And same way he left.
Way he left. But they were to go and to tarry and to wait in Jerusalem, in that upper room, to what? To receive the power when after the Holy Ghost came upon them.
Amen.
So that word is very important.
So I'm thinking about that word upon. You know, we talked about it a couple of weeks ago, about in the first covenant, you know, the Spirit of God came upon kings, priests, and prophets, and the people that were in that arena when that anointing was there, if they would be prophesying whatever was going on. So it came upon them, mm-hmm. but it wasn't there all the time. But now, right here, Jesus is telling us, when the Holy Ghost has come upon us, one time he comes upon us, what happens? He dwells in us, he's everything, we listen to him, and he's part of us, he's there all the time. So we don't have to wait for an upon anymore, he's on us and in us all the time. So that's what's the beauty of it with that we think about the New Testament and all that and what God's doing. And so we needed the power, don't we? They did. We need it to accomplish what God wants done in this day and this hour. And it's not a mechanical thing. It's got to be by the Spirit of God. Amen.
And they were witnessed because they saw the fire upon them.
They sure did.
They actually saw the fire upon them. Now, other times when people receive the Holy Ghost, didn't see fire upon them on their head or their shoulders or where it was. That was a certain manifestation that happened. But other things happened when, like say, when you got baptized in the Holy Ghost, when I got baptized in the Holy Ghost, when Margie or Melody got baptized in the Holy Ghost, different manifestations happen.
Yeah,
it's not going to always see fire upon us because this was a special thing that they have happened there because they, you know, they were all in one accord. They were all in agreement about the Holy Ghost coming. They were all waiting. Yeah. If they weren't there, they wouldn't have been, if they were gone somewhere, they wouldn't have been waiting.
That's
but
right.
They were waiting. They obeyed God and they were waiting for this baptism. And Jesus said they'd be baptized with what? With the Holy Ghost and with fire.
We might feel like we're on fire when it comes.
And
I remember when I
feel
got
like
it.
You're on fire.
I mean, I'm just out of control for a good while. I was out of control, you know, and the manifestation was the language that just came out and I couldn't stop, you know. So
Amen.
It was like I was on fire. Amen.
And a lot of times people do feel that heat,
that's
fire.
Right. Oh yeah.
And they spoke with tongues. So that's the evidence. You will speak with other tongues. You'll speak with other tongues.
That is the foundational proof all through the book of Acts, foundational proof of the infilling of the Holy Ghost is when you receive it, there's going to be a manifestation that's going to come out of your mouth. God is going to give you a heavenly language that's been assigned to you only. No one has it but you. You can communicate with God. The devil doesn't understand it. And so that's the manifestation that comes. That's the down payment and proof that you have it. If you don't have that, well, you can't tell me that I've got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because the evidence, read the book of Acts, the evidence always was a language that came for your benefit. Amen. All right, Melody, what you got there? I know you got something on your heart.
Well, I love what Pastor Donna said. And Pastor Donna, I'm going to take what you just said and I'm going to carry it on through. We're still, listeners, we're still in Acts chapter 1.
Okay.
And I just kind of want to do a little wrap up in chapter 1. I kind of, we're setting the stage right now because we're going to get ready and dive into chapter 2. Hey. So while we're doing that, I hope everyone has their Bibles open to Acts chapter 1. We're looking at verses 4 through 8. And so turn there with us, please. First of all, I'm going to do a little wrap-up with them. Looking at the verses 4 through 9, we got seven keys, Pastor Gene. There's seven keys. What are they, Melanie, you may ask? Well, first of all, number one, they were symboled together with them. He was symboled together with them. And number two, second key, they were what? They weren't just spoken to. They were, just like Pastor Donna said, they were commanded. Right. Commanded. They were not just told, they were commanded. Okay, what was the command that he sent? Okay, there were, they should not what? Depart from where?
Jerusalem.
They had to stay in Jerusalem. And
they had to wait. Yeah.
Okay, and now here's the one I want everyone to look at. They had to wait for what, Pastor Gene? What did they have to wait for?
For the manifestation of the Spirit. They didn't know what it was, but it was going to come.
March, what do they have to wait for?
The promise of the Father.
The promise of the Father. Yeah. Yes. And so I want to kind of just kind of focus on that little bit. It's the promise of the Father. Okay, so when they hear that, what does it mean to them? And listeners, let me ask you, what does that mean to you? When it says here, the promise of the Father. So they know that he's going to be doing something, what he said he's going to do. As he promised them, listeners, he has promises for you today. And will God fulfill those promises, Pastor Gene?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. And we got verses to share that with you too. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 20, it reads, "For all the promises of God find their what? In him." Let's do it again. Yes, in him. That's why it is through him that we utter our amen to the glory of God for his glory. Let's also go into Isaiah 55, verse 11. "So is my word that goes out of my mouth. Yeah. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it." So when God is saying, wait for the promise, okay, so they're going to have to wait because he has something that's going to be coming to them. And what he said, he is going to fulfill it. And what is that promise? What's the promise that he was going to give to them? "They shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost."
Amen.
Okay, and like Pastor Donna said, and once they're baptized with the Holy Ghost, what happens? What are they going to receive? Power. Power. That power is important. It's going to come upon them. And then what? He's going to tell them, after the power, you're going to be what? You're going to be witnesses. Witness unto who? Unto me, he says. Now, here's what's really interesting, March. He gives us the location of the witnessing. Where's the location going to be given? Both in Jerusalem. Where else, March? All Judea.
Yeah.
Where else?
Samaria.
And to where?
The entire world.
Other worlds. And raising the standard, listeners, this is what we're all doing. We're all gathered here together today. We are sharing the gospel that is going all over the world right now as we speak. So that's wonderful.
The uttermost parts.
And that's what we're doing right now. We're going to the uttermost parts. So what I want to ask you, listeners, are you also waiting for the promise of the Father? Do you have promises that you are standing on today? Marge, do you have a promise that you stand on?
Yes, I do.
What is that promise? Do you have that promise? That's okay. You be thinking about it, and I'll get right back with you. While Marge is thinking about it, let's just jump on to Philippians chapter 4, verse 19. And this is for all of us. I know this is one of my favorites. "And my God will..." What's Pastor Gene? What's he going to do?
Supply all my
needs. supply every need of yours according to his riches
and glory.
And glory in Christ Jesus. Now, is he going to supply some of the needs?
No.
No. He's going to supply what?
All of
your needs. So, listeners, you may have a need today. And you may think, there's no way. You know, it may be a healing that you need today. It may be some brokenness inside your life today. Or maybe you're just, maybe you have a prodigal son or daughter, you know, that you've been waiting for. Well, there's a promise for that prodigal too. Train up that child the way they shall go. When they get old, they shall not depart from it. That's a promise to you. So if your children or your loved one is not walking according to the ways of the Lord, stand on that promise. Wait on that promise, just like he told them as they were getting ready to go to the upper room, wait for the Holy Ghost. Stand on that promise of God. God is faithful. I just read the scriptures. He is faithful to perform it. Okay, and another thing too, I just want to share this one. Did you know in Jeremiah 29:11, listeners, that for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. That's the God we serve.
An expected end, amen.
And yes, and you stand there and you expect it because God has good gifts. He gives good gifts to his children. He has so much plans for you. So if I'm talking to you right now and you are discouraged and you think, Melanie, I don't know. I don't know because you don't know where I am in my life. No, I don't. But I'll tell you what, God knows where you are, and he loves you where you are, because his hand is reaching down to pull you up. All you have to do, brothers and sisters, is just reach your hand out there.
Grab hold.
And you just hold on tight, and he's going to pull you up from that pit and set you on his firm foundation, because he has a plan for you, and that plan is to give you a future. You have a future. In Yeshua HaMashiach, you have a future and a hope. So I don't want you to lose hope. I want you to be encouraged today. And the words that I have today, I pray that your heart is open to receive it, because God wants to. He loves you so much.
Sure
and
does.
I know sometimes we don't feel lovable and we don't even love ourselves. But I want to tell you something. God loves you. He loves you so much that he went to that tree and he died for you while we were all sinners. So what we do now is we stand on those great promises, Pastor Gene. And he says, delight yourself in the Lord. He says, delight in me. And you know what? When you delight in me, I'm going to give you the desires of your
heart. Yeah.
Can you believe that, Marge?
I do.
The desires, he wants to bless you, Marge. But at the same time, he wants you to delight in him. He wants you to enjoy him. And I just thank you. And there's just another promise, Pastor Gene, I'd just like to share too. Because
okay.
I believe we have some listeners out there that are heavy laden. And they're weak, Pastor Gene, and they're tired.
Yep.
And sometimes we get weary doing good too, you know. And in Matthew 11:28-29, it reads, he says, come to me.
Yep.
He's calling you, listeners. He's telling you, come to me.
That's right.
All who labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart,
yes.
And you will find rest for your souls. And do you know, listeners, there's rest for you today, and it's only in him that's going to give you that rest for your soul. So he's asking you, will you come to him today? Will you lay your burdens down, all your heavy ladens? Because, you know, he wants to give you rest. And in order for him to do that, you've got to lay it down. So stand on all these beautiful, I mean, do you realize, Pastor Gene, that I think there's over 33,000 promises that I came up with. Maybe you'll know something different. And also the word promise, I think it occurs 50 times in the New Testament.
Yeah.
And listeners, this is for you today, and I want you to grab a hold of that. So we got the promises, and we got the locations where we're supposed to go out and share the gospel, but once again, we have to have that power
right.
of the Holy Spirit to do that. So have we set this just stage? I was just wondering if we can jump into chapter 2. Can we do that
sure.
real quickly? Okay, listeners, go with us. We're moving right on. We're going to go into chapter 2
of Acts.
We're still in the book of Acts. We're going into chapter 2. Okay, now, We've already set the stage. This is what Yeshua is telling them what's going to come. So I've just given you the seven keys. They were commanded. They knew what to do. They had to wait for the promise and what they were going to see, receive, and where they were going to go. Now, this is where it gets exciting, Pastor Gene. This is where it really gets exciting.
I hope
you're getting excited too, listeners, brothers and sisters. Okay, chapter 2, verse 1, it reads, "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come," so now it's come. You know, they were waiting before, and they was telling them what to do. Now it's fully come. Hallelujah.
Fully fulfilled, yes.
It was fulfilled, and they were all in what?
One accord,
and also what?
In one place.
One place. Now, were they commanded to be in that place?
Yes, they were.
Absolutely. They were told they shouldn't depart. Okay? And also one accord. And to me, that one accord is so important.
Sure is.
Because that one accord, you notice how he's going to move. And some of us, we got to get into unity, brothers and sisters, because there's a lot of discord. But we need to be in one accord so the Spirit of God can move right through our lives, and even maybe in our households too.
Yes.
Maybe in our marriages we need to get one accord, especially if you want prayers answered with a husband and wife. Y'all need to get into one accord. And that's
what about our country?
Oh, well, you know, we can go into Second Chronicles with that, what he said he would do, you know.
That's right.
We have to be in one accord. And where does that start? I believe it starts with one person at a time, Pastor Donna. And I believe it starts with repentance.
It does. It starts with repentance. It starts with one person at a time. And I'm just going to bring in some government.
Okay.
Just while you're doing that, I just was, because it made me think about one person at a time. And I think about our president, President Trump. We got that trumpet, don't we, Margie?
Yes.
President Trump, he is a trumpet, and he is a sounding board for our nation. And I don't know how many people watched his speech on Tuesday night.
Powerful.
People were waiting outside there, I think, for hours. They even left their lawn chairs and everything. And
people stayed overnight,
outside,
camped out there.
And they wanted to be there. Those people were in one accord. And you know, our president is not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ.
That's right, he's not.
He's not ashamed of the name of Jesus Christ. And so there's the power, that he's been given the power to do what he does in our nation and affecting other countries and the things that are going on around the world with China and all these different places. But I was just, and he's not afraid of women in ministry, as he has many women. You might want to not call it ministry, but women in his
cabinet
in different places. But he had Paula White. She prayed. She prayed, and she made declarations. And she had declared things, and she spoke up. And she used the name of Jesus Christ
powerful.
Several times. How many presidents would do that?
Yeah.
Would put first Jesus. And the people there, they were all in one accord. Those people that were there, they said there were like over 20,000 people there. They were all in one accord. And when Jesus Christ's name was mentioned, they shouted. They prayed. They raised their hands. They shouted and stood up. You know, and when you put Jesus first, you have the power, because the power is in Jesus Christ's name.
Amen.
And Pastor Donna, we need that power today. Listeners, you need it.
I need
it. We all need that power. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. And why do we need that power? That power, because he has an assignment for each one of us to do.
Absolutely.
President Trump, he's got assignment. March, he's got you a big assignment. And in order for you to do that, it takes that power. And you know what? I just kind of going back to Acts, Pastor Donna, just real quick. When the Holy Ghost came upon the 120 in the upper room, okay, what happened? There were people that were mocking them, wasn't there?
That's right.
Okay? And just kind of like what's happening today in our government. And they were saying, oh, you know, they're just full of new wine. Now, this is the evidence of the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
And you know what? You're going to see it in Peter. And so you can imagine everybody mocking you and saying, you know, oh yeah, this is, you know, look what's happening to you, you know. But really, it's the power, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. You don't have any control. It comes on
That's
you.
Right.
As right now, I believe it's fallen right now. So receive it, listeners. Okay. So anyway, so now, you know, they're mocking him. Okay. What did Peter do, Marge? Well, in verse 14, you know what Peter did? Peter stood up with the 11, lifted up his voice. Well, there's the confidence of the Lord. That's that power of the Lord. He stood in front of his enemies, the people that were mocking him. He stood up and went on through the deity of Christ and told him who he was. And he said, he lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea and ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. Now, that's boldness, Pastor Donna.
And he had to do something.
But he did. But remember, he had the Holy Ghost, and he said, and Jesus was telling us, after the Holy Ghost came, what are you going to receive? It's he had that ghost, Marge, that he was able to stand up in front of those people and say, and he says, hearken to my words. That's pretty powerful. And that takes a lot of confidence. So when we do the will of God, he's going to give us that power and that confidence. Okay, good. Okay, now let's move on to verse 2 real quick, because this is the one that I really want to land on right here. It's, okay, so they were on one accord. They were in one place. And listeners, what does this say? And suddenly, let's all say that together.
Suddenly,
there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them the cloven tongues like as of fire, and it set upon each of them. And they were filled with what?
The Holy Ghost.
The Holy Ghost. All and what filled. Did they begin to do? They
speak.
Were all filled. And they were to speak with what?
Other tongues.
Other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And I want you to look at that word suddenly. Suddenly, that I believe that occurs, I think it was 87 times suddenly occurs in the
New Testament.
Yeah. I'm sorry, listeners. It's 50 times. No, maybe it is 80. 80 some. Okay. It was like 80 some times it appears, Pastor Gene, in the Bible of King James. And so suddenly is a very important word. And I want to leave you with this today, listeners. I want to leave you with the word suddenly. We serve a suddenly God.
Yeah,
okay?
We
serve a suddenly God. And I just want to tell you real quick also too, I just want to give you a quick example of someone in the Bible who also served a suddenly God, Marge. it was in Acts chapter 16. You don't have to turn there. You can just go with me as I read this real quick. Acts 16, verse 26. And suddenly, so I'll say it together.
Suddenly
there was a great earthquake. Mm-hmm. So the foundations of the prisons were shaken. And immediately all the doors were open and everyone bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out of his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. And then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? There you go. He came. And this suddenly happened. But let's think what they were doing, Pastor Gene. What was Silas and Paul doing before suddenly the great earthquake came? Well, let's go up to verse 25. Marge, go with me. Okay, verse 25 says, and at midnight, Paul and Silas, what did they do?
They prayed.
They prayed. And what else did they do?
They sang praises.
And guess what? The prisoners heard them. And then, let's all say it, suddenly
there was a great
earthquake.
Yes.
Okay, so are you getting it now? Because remember, let's just go back to the upper room where they had to wait for the promise of the Father.
Yeah.
Because suddenly it's going to come, and suddenly the time came, and it suddenly came upon them. Well, Paul and Silas, what were they doing? They were just singing, and they were praying. So, listeners, let me ask you this. What are you waiting for? What promise are you standing on? And in the midst of that, maybe God is waiting for us. Maybe God is just wanting to hear your prayers and your praising. Because so many times we can, in that waiting, Pastor Gene, we can get so discouraged that we just want to give up. But listeners, don't give up. Be encouraged. Let's be like a Paul and Silas. You just start praying as you're waiting. You know, the people in the upper room, they had to wait. sometimes we have to wait because God's timing is perfect. And if you're waiting, I believe there's a healing out there that people have been waiting for a long time, March. And sometimes, but in the midst time, you know, start praying and start praising the Lord and just giving into, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And it changes the whole atmosphere. It changes the condition of our heart. And when Paul cried out with a loud voice, he was telling not doing the harm, and then the light came, mm-hmm. and then we were just talking about earlier, and then it brought out, and then he said, what must I do to be saved?
Yes.
And listeners, I want to tell you, you must say, Melanie, I hear the word today, and I feel the Lord just stirring my heart. Well, I want you to be encouraged, because that may be you saying, what must I do to be saved? Well, let's go to verse 31 back in Acts chapter 16. It says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. And I want you to grab this, listener, and this is going to encourage you. And thy
house.
And thy house. So maybe later Pastor Gene will give it, you know, lead us into that prayer, because I believe maybe there's someone wants to give their life today. And he is the only way.
That's right.
And he's the only way. And you know what? When he does, he's going to give you a new heart. And he's going to give you a new spirit he's going to put in you. And you know what? He's going to remove that heart of stone. Maybe where that heart has gone waxed and cold, maybe from bitterness or unforgiveness, he's going to touch that. He's going to take that stone from your flesh. And listeners, he's going to give you a heart of flesh. He's going to take that stony heart. So I want you to be encouraged today. There's been many words have been spoken. We've gone from the promises of God, Pastor Gene. We've gone to the Holy Ghost and the power that's going to come. I just also want you to know, listeners, who you are in Jesus Christ.
That's right.
You
were
bought with a price. Don't go with the identity what the world will give.
Yeah.
Get to the identity what Yeshua, Jesus, gives us today. You know, you're his treasure possession. We talked about before. And you know what he calls that, Marge? He calls you his segula.
Segula.
And I want to leave you with that word. You're his segula.
Yeah.
He loves you with an everlasting love.
Sure does.
So be encouraged. Our phone lines are open today. You got a testimony, we'd love to hear it. Please call us. You know, share that testimony with us and just be encouraged. I want you to hold on a little bit because I think Marge has got us something really good to share with us today. And listeners, we just love you and we pray for you as we need your prayers for us. But it's just been so great to be able to have this time with you today. We just love you. Okay, Marge, what you got?
Well, praise the Lord. I thank the Lord for Miss Melanie and Pastor Donna and Pastor Gene, and I'm so grateful to be able to share on Raising the Standard ministry. And I just have a few things, too, regarding his manifestation and God's love. It's an example. He is the example to all the hurting people.
Perfect
that
example.
May be out there. He is our example,
yes.
And he wants you to come to him. Thank you, Father, and be healed of whatever. Thank you, Lord, and to bring you out of any bondage that you may be in. Allow Jesus to go before you. Follow his paths for your destiny, also his plan for your life. Let the Holy Ghost lead us to our promised land that flows with milk and honey. God will go before us, ahead of us, to fight our battles. And at all times, we have the armor of God to battle the enemy. In Exodus 15, if we have time, Exodus 15:3-6. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. And verse 6, thy right hand, O Lord, is become glorious in power. Thy right hand, O Lord, hath dashed in pieces the enemy. So whatever we're experiencing in our life, the Lord is with us, holding our hands, and he wants to break those bondages in pieces. Isaiah 52, if we still have a little bit of time, 52 and 12. For ye shall not go out with haste, nor go by flight, for the Lord will go before you, and the God of Israel will be your reward. In Deuteronomy 9, thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy 9:3. Understand, therefore, this day, that the Lord thy God is he which goeth over before thee as a consuming fire. He shall destroy them, and he shall bring them down before thy face. So shalt thou drive them out and destroy them quickly, as the Lord hath said unto thee. The Lord always says what he says. It's a promise, and we can count on him. It's his timing. Ephesians, if someone would like to do that one real quick. Ephesians 6.
Thank you, Lord.
10 through 18, if they'd like to.
Those are your verses, Pastor Downey, you like so well.
I know.
About the armor of God.
Melanie's going to read them.
Okay, what was that, Al?
Ephesians 6. 10 through 18.
About the armor of God.
Oh, yeah, that's a good one.
And you know one thing
we
might remember? The grammar in those verses makes it clear that you put that armor on one time and you do not take it off.
Amen.
It's on when you sleep, when you shower, when you're out on the road, wherever you're at, that power remains on you. You keep that equipment on all the time to be aware that the enemy's trying to stop us.
He's right there waiting.
That's right.
For any opening.
That's right. Go ahead, Melanie.
Okay. We've got Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through
18.
Here we go. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world,
Amen.
Against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God.
Yes.
Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit.
Yes.
And watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for who? All saints. Amen.
And I believe that praying in the Spirit is praying in our heavenly language, in tongues.
There you go.
Amen.
There you go. And the power.
And that's the power. That's what brings the power, and that's what brings the prophetic word. That's what brings prophecy. Praying in the Spirit, singing in the Spirit. I like what it says in Corinthians about, he tells us to pray in the Holy Ghost and to sing in the Holy Ghost.
I love that.
I love that scripture. Go ahead, Miss Margie.
Amen. In 2 Corinthians 4:17, thank you, Father. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away.
Hallelujah.
Behold, all things are become new. Oh, in 18. And all things are of God. All things. There's nothing in this world that does not belong to him or concern him. All things concern him, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Yes. Walk hand in hand with God every day, every inch of the way. Trust does not falter when the path gets rocky. He's there to hold us up.
Amen.
And he, the scriptures are right here for us to keep our hands tight in his. Thank you, Father God.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
I'm thinking that's here, good. Talking about the Holy Ghost. Over in the book of Jude, it's a short book.
That's a good one.
25 verses.
Right.
But verse 19 says, "These be they not who separate themselves sensually, having not the Spirit." That's who they are. They're not they're not spiritual. In other words, you know, we hear about carnal Christians. They can be a believer, being carnal means they're not spiritual. But look at verse 20 now. He says, "But ye," Jude says, "ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost." Well, how do you pray in the Holy Ghost? The church can't tell you how to do that. They say, well, you can't have tongues and interpretation or anything today. Well, that Holy Ghost is a prayer language that the Father and the Son gave you to build yourself up. It tells you that over in 1 Corinthians and all. And so this is very important about the Holy Ghost. It brought that power. It builds us up. It encourages us. It strengthens us. It allows us to do things that we never thought we could do on our own, but you can. As we always say, the Bible says in the finished covenant, open your mouth and God will fill it. All you have to do. The river of God is full all the time. So this is very important. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 14 since okay. that was kind of mentioned. And I'm going to start in verse 12. It says, "Even so ye, for as much as ye are zealous for spiritual things or spiritual gifts." Are you jealous for spiritual gifts, you listeners? We need to be. "Seek that ye may excel to the edifying of the church." That's what you're just talking about, Pastor Gene.
That's right.
To edify the church. And how do we edify the church with in the Holy Ghost? Well, it tells us here in the next couple of verses. It says here, "Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret." Praise the Lord. 14, "For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth." So what's praying? Your spirit. Our spirit is praying. "But my understanding is unfruitful." Then this is what we're supposed to do, because when you pray in the Holy Ghost, you will get revelation of how to pray
in your language,
whether it would be English or another language,
whatever.
Or another country, you know, because the Holy Ghost, the prayer language of the Holy Ghost is being poured out throughout the whole earth. And he said it would go to the uttermost parts. What? The uttermost parts of the earth.
Of the earth.
That the Holy Ghost would go and touch people. And you think about these big crusades, where are they happening? Most of them are happening in the uttermost parts of the earth.
That's
a lot,
right.
Where you see fields and fields.
Thousands of people.
Hundreds of thousands of people that are on the ground. They don't even have chairs to sit in.
That's right.
Amen. Verse 15 says, "What is it then? I will pray with the Spirit." So the first thing is to pray with the Spirit, because we don't know how to pray a lot of
right.
times.
We don't.
But the Spirit always knows how to pray.
Amen.
So the first thing to do is to pray with the Spirit.
Hodo
then it says, amen. I will pray with the understanding also. So when you pray in the Spirit, you will now get the understanding to know how to pray in whatever language you speak, because God is praying in you and through you. You know, we talked about the Holy Ghost coming upon you. Well, the Holy Ghost needs to be in you,
that's
within
right.
you, before it's going to come upon you. There's a manifestation that happens. Maybe when you're going grocery shopping and you're looking for all the things you need, you know, you're not thinking about the Holy Ghost, but you see somebody and something happens. All of a sudden you get a twinge, you know, or an unction. And you think about that person, and the Lord speaks to you something, and then you're supposed to say something to them. Amen? So that's the Holy Ghost. It comes upon you for ministry, to speak to somebody, to help somebody. But first it has to be stirred up within you. Jesus said, "I'll be in you." So he's in us. Amen? And then he says here, I will sing. So that you sing in the Holy Ghost. If you have a hard time praying in the Holy Ghost, I would suggest you sing. Sing hallelujah, and then start singing in the Holy Ghost. Sing in the Holy Ghost. That's a language as well. You know, you sing, and then you're going to sing what? You're going to bring forth that what you sang in the spirit, you're going to bring forth in the understanding. Because then it says, and I will sing with the understanding also. So the Holy Ghost brings us the understanding to know how to sing in a language that other people will know. And then what? Then the church is edified. Then the church is edified. But if there's just us, the Holy Ghost, if everybody's singing the Holy Ghost, somebody is going to get a word and share it, and they should share it with the church. It says, else when thou shalt bless with the Spirit. So when you're singing in the Holy Ghost or you're praying in the Holy Ghost, what are we doing? We're blessing with the Spirit. How shall he that occupy the room of the unlearned say amen? Why? Because you need to give the interpretation. You need to sing in the Spirit or pray in the Spirit, and then the Lord is faithful to give us the interpretation. He will do that. Amen. How can they say amen at thy giving of thanks? You know, when you're praying the Holy Ghost, you are thanking the Lord. You are, what were they doing in that upper room? They were declaring the wonderful works of God. That's what they were doing when they were praying in the Holy Ghost. They were declaring the wonderful works of God.
It brought unity, didn't it?
For they verily give us thanks, well, but the other is not edified. And then Paul went on to say, I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. He spoke with tongues more than ye all.
Boy, he needed what he went through, didn't he?
He sure did.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And
what his own people did to him.
And Melanie mentioned that, Pastor Gene, there may be somebody who would like to receive to be born again, and to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, because Cornelius' family, they received the Holy Ghost before they were baptized in water.
That's right.
And so I want to go over here, and then I want you to take over, Pastor Gene. Oh, back over to Acts chapter 2, where you were at, Melanie. It says here, says they were pricked in their hearts. Are you pricked
good.
In your heart?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Are you pricked in your heart from what different people here have spoken? We should be pricked in our heart. It says, and when they heard this, when you're listening now, you're all listening, right? And they were pricked in their hearts, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What do we do now? And he tells them, right, they need to be born again. Then Peter said unto them, repent, and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins. So they're repenting, and they're being baptized for the remission of sins. You know, that's when they were water baptized. And then what does he tell them they're going to receive? And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Holy Ghost.
They're going to receive this gift that we're talking about. Because that gift is for everyone. You know, a gift is not to something that to be only in a closet or on a shelf. No, it's to be used out in the open air, in the public, open air meetings or wherever you're at. It's a gift to be used. It's not something that you keep hidden away. So many people say, well, that's just my gift and I'm it's personal. No, it's not personal. They weren't personal when they were in that upper room. They were all together. There were a lot of people. When they were out on the road, it wasn't personal. People saw it. People saw these things. And I like what you said, because you talked about the promise. For the promise is unto who? You who are listening, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call.
Amen.
And you talked about 3,000.
Yeah, over about 3,000 promises.
3,000 promises. And how many souls were saved?
3,000. Yeah, 3,000.
3,000 souls were saved.
That's great. Good idea. Isn't that awesome? That's a good analogy, isn't it,
right.
Pastor Gene? I like that.
3,000. You mentioned that. I thought there were 3,000 souls saved that day, because they all heard and they received. And I would imagine they all received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and started speaking in tongues. Can you imagine what kind of a roar that would be? Because, you know, before this all came, there was a wind that came. And there was a sound that came.
That's right.
And it was from heaven.
Heaven above.
Right. It was from heaven, but it came to earth and touched those people.
Sure did.
All right, Pastor Gene, maybe somebody, we still have a few minutes here.
Let's just do this here. We got a few minutes. Okay. I'm going to go over to Luke 11 with you listeners.
Oh, okay.
Now, this is for someone who has never received Jesus, but also you could receive the Messiah today.
Yeah.
And the moment you receive him, you could ask for the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God will come upon you. Verse 9 says, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be what? Opened.
Yes.
if a son shall ask bread of any of you, that is a father, will he give him a stone? No, we know. Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent? No. Or if he shall ask an egg, shall he give him a scorpion? No. Now here's the key verse. If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? Amen. Now with that thought in mind,
okay,
I'm going to go back over to Acts chapter 16, where Melody was at a little bit ago. We've got an example here for all of us. We know that Paul and Silas were in jail, and God did a miracle at midnight. An earthquake came and shook the place, and they were broke loose. Amen? We're in verse 28 of chapter 16, it says, but Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all there, or all here. See, the Mormon guards know if they were caught asleep, it would cost them their lives.
That's right.
Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling. Paul even trembled. There's another manifestation. Yeah. And fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? This is for someone listening right now. What must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I love that. And they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. So we assume they all got saved by hearing the word of God.
That's right.
So you're hearing the word of God today here on WCNO Radio. If you've never made that decision, you need to ask the Lord to come in. And he'll do some things that you would never comprehend in the natural. It's the manifestations of the Holy Ghost is the thing that changes our lives and brings us to that place. I can remember the day when I made that statement on the side of the road. Yeah. Never prayed in my life. Just asked him to come in, and everything was just turned upside down, and our lives just started all over. And we've never been the same since. We don't look back. We go forward, and so we have to trust the Lord. So all you have to do is believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, shed his blood for your sins. He rose from the grave, like he said on the third day, and he's getting ready to come back for his group again. He's on the horizon. It won't be long. I believe he's going to be coming back. So that's the gift of God, is what? Eternal life. And so the wages of sin we know is death, but the gift of God is what? Eternal life.
It's a free gift
through Yeshua HaMashiach, our Messiah. And we've all sinned and missed the glory of God. We don't have the God's gift because we've all sinned. But he comes in and he takes over. So we're honored to be here with you today. So if you make that decision, call us at area code 772-285-7007.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. That's good. Thank you, Pastor Gene. Yes, that's area code 772-285-7007. And we have Shabbat services this afternoon at 2 p.m. at the Alliance Church. So come by. It's 445 Southeast Osceola Street. And that's a little white church on the corner. Come and join us for Shabbat this afternoon. Amen. Glory to God. We're just blessed to be here every Saturday, Lord willing. And we just thank the Lord. Thank you for praying for us and praying for our health and for whatever the Lord would have us to do. And as we pray for you, you can give us a call. We're going to blow the shofar. Pastor Gene has this nice shofar he got from Israel. Hallelujah. He's getting a lot of wind. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Jesus. So we just bless you all, and we say Shabbat Shalom, Sabbath peace, and rest.
We are raising the standard of excellence.
I trust that this time with you today has been informative and uplifting. I look forward to speaking to you again next week at the same time. May the God of peace rule and reign in your hearts and lives, and remember that Jesus is Lord and that he is the Spirit of prophecy.